You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Salt Spring Island is home to over 50 black people, many of them descendants of people from the U.S. who fled California in the middle of the 19th century. The black population of the island is the subject of a photographic narrative written by Evelyn C. White, with photographs by Joanne Bealey. Every Goodbye Ain't Gone is published by Dancing Crow Press and had its Vancouver launch at the Rhizome Cafe a week ago. We recorded the event and are going to bring you a couple of excerpts from the evening. We're going to start with Joanne Bealey, who took the photographs for the book.
Initially, when Evelyn came to me with the idea to write a book about the black heritage on Salt Spring Island, she was already in the process of writing the book in her head. She wanted to bring the story of the black pioneers who had come up from the U.S. to Victoria and then settled on Salt Spring Island into the 21st century. What she asked me to do was to photograph all the people of African descent who were currently living on Salt Spring Island, and that seemed like a good way to bring it into the 21st century. When I said yes to this project, I didn't think about what that might mean in a political or cultural or racial sense, but just this will be a really great project and how can I accomplish it creatively. So I was taken a little off guard initially when the very first person I asked to photograph asked me what my interest was as a white person. And by the time the second person asked me the same question, I had a better understanding of the issues and am forever grateful, actually, for those initial conversations. Because here's the thing, and here's what we talked a lot about. Photography has a long and, unfortunately, a rather sordid affair with what's come to be known as the white gaze, in which people of color, black men in particular, are routinely presented as menacing, militant, criminal. And it's not, unfortunately, a practice that we can relegate to the past. It still exists today. This photo of Tiger Woods was taken many, many months before all his current trouble. And it would be hard for me to imagine that the photographer, who is Annie Leibovitz, a very professional, wonderful photographer, she took this photo, and it'd be hard for me to believe that she didn't actually know or understand what she was doing, because you can pretty much guarantee that a large number of people, when they look at a photo of a black man in a skull cap, especially since the O.J. Simpson trial, no shirt, pumping iron, looking grim, will see him as somehow threatening. I don't think Tiger Woods probably chose this or his people, so it was a choice that the photographer made. And she's not alone. She follows a long line of predominantly Caucasian photographers taking stereotypical photos. So if you compare that to this, who Sav Boro is an artist and muralist on Salt Spring Island, and he's one of the people in our book. The interesting thing is that this photo of Sav was part of an exhibition at an art gallery on Salt Spring Island this past fall. The exhibit was titled All Souls Rising and was put together to commemorate the 150th anniversary of black settlement on the island. One day when I was at the gallery, a white woman visiting the show, who was, of course, she was unaware that I had taken the photograph, remarked in my presence that the artist, or the person in the photograph, the artist, didn't look African. And so I told her, well, in fact, the man had been born in Kenya. He'd lived in Canada a long time, but he was indeed African. And she immediately countered with, well, he doesn't look like it. He might be Thai. And with that, she quite literally sashayed out the door. Now, I mumbled something about all blood being red, which is true, but it got me thinking, what actually does an African look like? Why did he not look African to her? It doesn't take that much reflection to realize that the North American lens through which Africans have historically been viewed consists primarily of drought, violence, poverty, AIDS, devastation, And by contrast, Sav here exudes peace, tranquility, and a rightful pride in his art. On some level, it's as though his Buddha-like visage disrupted the woman's notions of Africa or African.
You've been listening to Joanne Beely, who took the photographs for Every Goodbye Ain't Gone. Evelyn C. White is the biographer of Alice Walker and the author of this book of Black history of Salt Spring Island. We join her talk here as she describes how Black people came to BC in the 1850s.
I wanted to clear up forevermore the myth that the Black people who arrived on Salt Spring came via the Underground Railroad. The fact of the matter is that the Blacks who arrived on Salt Spring in 1859 by way of Victoria were free Blacks. They were what could rightly be considered the best and the brightest of the era. They were Blacks who had made it to California, ostensibly a free state. They were going about their business extremely successful as merchants, as tradespeople, as farmers, when basically three things happened. The Fugitive Slave Law of 1850 was passed that basically said any Black person, whether they had been enslaved or not, was vulnerable to being returned to an enslaved condition. By virtue of your skin color, you were under siege. That was one thing, the Fugitive Slave Law. California had passed a law that said that Blacks could not testify against whites in a court of law. If there was any court disputes involving Black people and white people, Black people had no recourse. Now, I want you to think about the practical implications of this. A white person comes to my farm and steals my livestock. I have no recourse. That was a law on the books in California in the late 1850s. And then, of course, there was, perhaps many of you have heard the name Dred Scott. There was the Dred Scott Supreme Court decision, 1857, that basically said Blacks were not citizens of the U.S., that Blacks had no rights that white people had to honor. And all of this is happening at the precipice. You know, there's all of this, you know, strife and tension in advance of the Civil War. At the same time that in Victoria, gold had been discovered along the Fraser River, James Douglas, the first provincial governor of BC, a man who was himself mixed race. James Douglas's mother was a Black woman born in Barbados. He himself was born in Guyana to this Black woman from Barbados and a Scottish planter. At the same time that Blacks are under siege in California, James Douglas recognizes a need for skilled commercial and civic leaders to come to Victoria, where there is a flood of people coming in pursuit of gold and their riches. He wants a stabilizing force of professional people who can keep the lid on Victoria and help it prosper in this boom town frenzy. So at the precise time that these very, very skilled and successful Blacks are under siege in California, James Douglas, a biracial man and the most significant political figure in BC at the time, realizes he has a need for a skilled, accomplished, intelligent workforce. He extends an invitation to this beleaguered group of Blacks in California. They have a meeting at a church in San Francisco in April of 1858 and decide that they are leaving California, They get on the Commodore steamship, arrive in Victoria, help make, you know, Victoria orderly, and they sell tools and equipments to the miners. They set up shops. They take over some of the civic duties of the town that was really wild and woolly and out of control at the time. And then a year later, a large group of those people decided that they wanted, in my view, more peace, more tranquility. And so they came to Salt Spring, where they cleared the land, planted orchards that exist today, and began the process, the task of making Salt Spring habitable for the people who came after them.
You've been listening to Evelyn C. White, author of Every Goodbye Ain't Gone, a photo narrative of Black heritage on Salt Spring Island. The photographer is Joanne Beely, and the book is published by Dancing Crow Press. It's available in Vancouver at People's Co-op Bookstore and Blackberry Books.